Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hey, hey, it's Fat Mascara.
Ooh, you had like a single drum roll. I liked that. I'm Jen. Still Jen, always Jen.
I'm Jess. How's it going?
It's going well.
Got a big episode today.
We got a lot of knowledge.
A lot of knowledge.
We're going to look younger at the end of it. That I can promise.
Take notes. Get out the pen and pencil. Before we get to our fabulous guest, here's what's up today. We are talking about South Korea's beauty backlash. And then we're talking about beauty's sexual revolution.
Was that like sexy noise that you just made? That was what I would have done.
Who's our guest?
Our guest, she's going to love this episode, Dr. Dendy Engelman. She's a dermatologist in New York City. She has some very fabulous celebrity clients. And we really asked her to be here to get all into topical anti-agers, what they can and can't do. So it's going to be a really informational interview. Let's get into it.
So, Jen, there I was perusing the Times the other day, and sometimes the style section just really hits it. They did this piece about South Korea's beauty backlash. I thought this was so fascinating, really worth a read. Alexandra Stevenson is the writer. The story is about, you know, we've talked about in South Korea, there's such an obsession with plastic surgery and a very rigid, almost like Barbie-like look, you know.
A homogenous aesthetic is in fashion. Even David Yee, our guest last week, had mentioned that with men and women.
Yes, the heart-shaped face, the double eyelid, the pert nose, the you know.
Shaved jaw. There's a set look. You can Google it if you want to know what we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very doll-like. Almost reminds me of like a Bratz doll. And it's really, I'll just be straight, it's like not natural. And it was very exciting. They were saying that some people, even some very prominent YouTubers there, are saying, actually, we don't have to do this. And just like how we're having Me Too here in this country, there's something called Escape the Corset.
Well, it's not like Me Too. It's just one of those social hashtag activism
kind of movements. Right, right. Yeah, hashtag activism, but it's about escaping something that they feel, you know, is
misogynist, patriarchal,
and shitty. Yeah. So, and saying actually, rise up. We don't have to take it. So, did you have a read of this article, Jen?
I did. And what struck me is, I feel like I am very guilty of sometimes. I think I visited Korea, you know, twice, and I have lots of Korean American friends. I think I understand their culture. Obviously, I don't have a freaking clue. I'm not Korean, but I read it as very homogenous. And this was such a wake up call to me to like, you cannot stereotype anyone or anything. And just because every corner has a plastic surgery, you know, suite, and you can walk in off the street and get the nose that everybody else has, doesn't mean that everybody in that culture is down with that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've talked about this on the podcast and I've totally simplified it. It was like, yeah, everybody in Korea wants to look the same. There's this cool feminist movement there of women who are fighting back against that in the way that I think they have here in the United States when we talked about the underarm hair, for example, or some of the beauty standards that we have come to believe are just like how it should be when maybe you should question it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bigger deal, though, in Korea, I think, because it is, you know, so prevalent.
So, yeah, and so extreme. I think it's, yeah, it's a kind of like part two or really just like another version of like the body positivity movement or the individuality movement. But it feels, you know, it feels kind of exciting because, you know, I'm not here to say like one is worse than the other, like the U.S. standard of beauty versus the South Korean standard of beauty. Cause frankly, I don't know. I've never been to South Korea. But I feel like it's almost like the pendulum is going so far the other way. Like they've been so repressed.
Mm-hmm.
If we have any South Korean listeners, I would love to hear what you guys have to say or if you have any experience in it. But the article just really, it was a bit of a wake up call that like, this is not like a cute, positive, like quirky, fun thing. This sort of like fetishization of,
a woman's beauty or a man's features.
Yeah.
And they also touch on something we talked about with Charlotte Cho in her episode. You weren't here, but about the 10-step ritual. One of the people in the article was like, it stems from that. That rigidness of skincare, even though we've established you don't have to do the 10 steps, people are skipping. There's this rigidity in the way that beauty is handled, and it oozes into like all these aspects of culture that I think it really shouldn't. So.
Yeah, just like, somebody said something in the article about like, now they're using their platform to talk about like feminism or like art or like, you know, just like other ideas. And I think it's as much
the YouTubers, like a beauty YouTuber and some of the influencers there. Yeah.
Yeah. And now they're like, actually, I want to talk about something else. You know, we are a beauty podcast. So it feels maybe kind of funny that we're like, yeah, like there's other things to talk about than beauty. But I like the idea of like Korea being like, all right, maybe we need to back off the beauty thing for a hot second. Like there's more to life. So anyway,
put a link so you can give a read.
Yeah, and you'll love it. It's a great article.
And then weigh in. Yeah. Tell us we're wrong. I want to hear it.
So Jen, in the summer, I met with the founders of Necessaire, and this brand was like super hyped. It's kind of odd to meet with a brand many, many months before they launch.
Yeah.
One of the co-founders is Nick Axelrod, who, listeners, his name may be ringing a bell. He was the co-founder of Into the Gloss, just kind of an all-around cool guy. And he is bringing this line out. And the thing that's really groovy about it is it's very like, you know, cool. He was saying like it's supposed to like look great in your bathroom. You know, he wants to go into his bathroom and not see like a bunch of like junked up, you know, mass looking like crazy brands. Like it's very chic, exactly what you'd expect from him. But
non-gender specific.
Yeah, that's definitely a big deal.
Clean, quote unquote.
No nasties, yada, yada, yada. But one of the products that really caught my eye and definitely made me like perk up a little bit was there was something called the sex gel.
It's funny because I didn't know what it was.
What do you mean?
I saw it at first and I thought it was like, you know how Amanda Chantal had like sex dust?
Yes.
I was like, oh, I didn't put together that it was a personal lubricant. That's
you
what
thought you were
going
to eat it?
No, I don't know. Like, I thought it was just like sexy time body gel. I don't know. But it's a personal lubricant.
Oh, like you
right?
Thought it was like some Rihanna like thigh gel?
Or just a cool name for like a hair gel or something.
Uh-huh.
But no, the whole branding is that we just tell you what we are. So this is a personal lubricant,
yes.
Right? And it's a water-based gel that adds moisture glide and pleasure without stickiness.
Yeah.
I've been seeing a lot of these high-end lubes.
Right.
So do you think this counts as like beauty and grooming products?
I feel like people must think that we're like just trying to like bust taboos week after week because last week it was tushy wipes.
I forgot we just talked
about tushy wipes. Right, we talked about tushy wipes. We're going. We're now we're on sex lubes, But I really think...
Personal care products.
Yeah, I was just talking about this to, in like a consulting thing the other day. I was like, they're like, what's hot in beauty? I'm like...
Personal
care
is hot.
Let's take it downtown, babe. You know?
Front and back.
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's where all the excitement is. It's like in these taboos, but done really, really well.
Yeah, like why does it have to be the tacky thing that's on the bottom shelf with horrible packaging? Like... Just lube just looked like slippery and wet. Or you remember when in the tanning salons in high school, there would be like the tanning products, but they could just as easily have been sex lubes. It's just like weird packaging.
Oh, like a roll on. Like it's
like the, hot and wet liquid.
And also like spilling out the sides.
Yeah, lots of squirtiness to them all.
Super gross. Super
it's
gross.
Like if we've all elevated our taste level, thank you Target or whatever you want to name it, in our early aughts that did this, why can't it be chic as well? And I think that's what we're seeing.
Also, I do think what's been very nice is, you know, if I'm watching like television, like let's say I was watching like television with like my parents, mm-hmm. it is the odds are high that a commercial for lube will come on at a time of day that like you could be watching television with your family. So the lube like threshold is like really like, you know, it's like general now.
Yeah.
Like there's like happy couples being like, it's time, like turn her on. You know what I mean? Like it's not so seen as like seedy anymore.
Or not even something to be embarrassed about. Like, I don't have enough moisture.
Yeah.
Like, dude, nobody has enough moisture. For self-pleasure, for pleasure with others, like, these things are sometimes necessary for some of the things you want to try to do. I don't know.
So that kind of conversation is so, like, mainstream now, and that's great. But now it's people like Nick who are being like, okay, but I don't relate to, like, the one that's being advertised with the soccer mom.
Right, he wants his cool one.
He wants a cool lube.
Can I talk about the cool lube that I love, though?
Yes.
Which was out before this.
Bring it,
so
Jen.
This one is $20, but you know how I learned about Uber
Jen
lube?
Jen likes fancy lube.
Uber lube. Uber lube is the bomb, but it's not, it does have silicone in it. It's a silicone-based lubricant, and
okay.
This one I don't think is. So some people don't like that, you know? Because it's a hair serum. I saw it in a hairstylist kit. So Uber Lube doubles in a pinch, but also some people really like it as a hair serum.
Stop it.
Well, it's like frizzies, basically. Like, it's not dimethicone. It's another version of that. I kid you not. I saw it in a hair kit, so I ordered some to use as, like, a finishing hair product.
Oh.
It is the most amazing hair finisher if you, because, like, it just, like, tamps down the frizz, and you just need, like, a tiny drop.
Okay.
So I started out using it for that, but then it turns out it's an excellent lube that doesn't lose its effectiveness and doesn't get pilly or tacky.
And because it's silicone, like, you go, like, flying.
Okay. I'm just going to end this with, I had an Uber lube accident recently in my household that, like, it does come in a glass jar. They have some non. A glass jar of Uber lube cracked on my wooden floor. I have been mopping
this
that.
Thing comes in a glass jar?
It's like a little glass vial. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same thing. It's a high-end, beautiful packaging.
Oh, okay.
And I kid you not, I have mopped that area of the floor, I want to say 30 times now. This happened maybe 6 months ago. Still, if I walk there with
in
like socks, forget about it.
Jamaican bobsled.
It's like that, what's that broom thing that
the Swiffer?
No, that Winter Olympics sport that they do.
Oh, curling.
It's a freaking curling court.
Wait, so near my Jen, when I come to your house in a week or so.
I'm having a party next weekend. I will show you the spot. You will be able to go sliding across it. So be careful with the sex
I'm
loops.
Wearing like slipper socks. I'm wearing grips.
Well, this is what they're meant to work this way, right? Just don't, a little drop will do you, which is the case with most of these. Do not crack a whole jar on your floor or you will be sliding around like it's curling in the Winter Olympics for months. Oh, my God. Hey guys, it's Jen here. I have a special deal for you and for all our contact lens wearers, of which I am one. Have you guys heard of Simple Contacts? First of all, I don't have time for anything, my life, my two jobs, any of that. Getting contacts is definitely not on the list. But when you go to simplecontacts.com, you can renew your prescription and reorder your contacts from anywhere in minutes. Or if you don't have time to take a new vision test, you can take it there and it'll be reviewed by a doctor. Honestly, this isn't a replacement for a full health eye exam, which you should still get every year. But if you need help finding your contact lenses and getting a great price on them, Simple Contacts is what you want. And here's the deal. You can get $20 off your order if you visit simplecontacts.com/mascara20 or just enter the code mascara20 at checkout. Again, it's $20 off if you go to simplecontacts.com/mascara20 or enter the code mascara20 at checkout.
Jess, it's the holidays. Aren't you excited?
So excited.
I need some help getting gifts for my family and friends. Do you have any ideas for me?
Storyworth.
What's Storyworth?
Okay, so when I was home for the holidays, I realized my dad had so many sweet stories, and I figured how amazing would it be if we had them all in one place. This is the perfect gift for him or anyone who's the keeper of the stories in your family. Storyworth will send your relative an email each week, and it's going to ask them a question about their life. All they have to do is reply to the email with their story, or if they prefer, they can record it over the phone by calling with the Storyworth number.
That's so good. They don't even have to do work. They just call and start talking.
Exactly. And at the end of the year, the stories are bound into a beautiful keepsake book that you can share with your family.
Oh my gosh, my family and friends will love that. If you guys want to get $20 off your Storyworth order, visit storyworth.com/mascara. Again, for $20 off your order, visit storyworth.com/mascara.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So we're ready to get into skincare. I don't know. I'm feeling old, and Dr. Dendy is here to help. Dendy Engelman is a dermatologist, and she's the associate clinical professor at Albert Einstein Medical College. She often consults with beauty brands, which is how Jess and I know her. Right now, she's been working with Elizabeth Arden a lot, and we're so happy to have you at Fat Mascara. Welcome.
Thank you. Dendy.
Can we also say she's like just did Dr. Oz show this morning, is about to fly out where to South Carolina to go home for Thanksgiving?
Yep.
But me time for us.
And looking gorgeous. Yeah. I mean, you always look flawless.
That's what we want. We want some of that. Rub that off on
us. I had to look camera ready for the podcast.
Of course. So before, we really want to talk about topical anti-agers because we get so many questions from listeners and it can be really confusing. But before we get into that, I have to ask you to tell the story you told once about how it's sort of like preordained that you would be a dermatologist, about like where you grew up, what your dad does. How'd you get into dermatology?
Well, my dad is a family doctor, and he kind of treated the whole town. I'm from a small town in South Carolina called Somerville, right outside of Charleston. And I always loved medicine. I felt like since the 10th grade when we went on a field trip to the hospital, he took our chemistry class, that I was like, I could do this. And so followed in his footsteps. And then I always loved dermatology just because I felt like it was very fun to see the disease you were treating and to see if it was getting better or getting worse. And you're really engaged with the patient mm-hmm. more because they too can see, unlike, you know, blood pressure, you don't really see that getting better yeah. or worse, or diabetes. This was something that patients can tell it is actually resolving, and it's very powerful, and we know the visual is very powerful in how we feel. And so it's quite a competitive specialty, and so you don't really start medical school saying you want to be a dermatologist. There are just not very many spots, and so I was very lucky to get it, and I still joke that my dad was like the only father on the planet who was bummed out that his daughter matched in dermatology, because I think he wanted me to be a general practitioner like him. But there's still a lot of general medicine and dermatology, and I don't just do aesthetics, and I do skin cancer surgery as well. So I think I'm still practicing, you know, for the inside and out of patients.
And that's what you teach at the medical college, right?
Yes, like I work with the fellow in Mohs surgery and laser medicine.
Got it. But then also, this is my favorite part about your growing up story, there was a red door yes. on your street.
Yes. So that's totally come full circle as far as my connection now with the Elizabeth Arden brand is three doors down.
Oh, it was three doors down. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
Elizabeth
like
Arden owned the home where I grew up, right next, three doors down from there. And it's still mandated to have a red door. And it was her winter home. And so it's a beautiful home in South Carolina. And so I will take my children to play in the yard this weekend while we're home in for Thanksgiving, because a judge lives there. It's always been a home of powerful women. Lily Pulitzer, her mother actually bought the house from Elizabeth Arden. So
wow.
randomly, this house has had a lot of history and powerful women. And now today, a female judge lives there who's a very girl power kind of person. So
and you're friends with them?
Yeah, you know them? I used to babysit their children. And so I still have a relationship with that house, and it's really fun that that narrative has come full circle as far as me now consulting with the brand, because we always refer to it as the Elizabeth Arden House ever
That's
since I was
so
a little
cool.
girl. So all I knew was this New Yorker woman was really powerful and wore red lipstick, but that was my image of beauty growing up.
Is it decorated nicely for the holidays?
It's a beautiful home.
I picture it being really beautiful yeah. around the holidays.
It's very pretty.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's talk business. Mm-hmm. So when, you know, people come to you to see you, you know, for like their skincare needs, I'm not talking so much about like the more serious things like the Mohs and all of that, but anti-aging. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that your patients have gotten more savvy about topicals, or are people just as confused as ever?
Both. I think that there's so much information out there that they really have access to things, and patients will read and listen to fantastic podcasts like y'all's and really come to know ingredients much more mm-hmm. than we did when I came out of training. And quite honestly, there's so many new ingredients, more so than when I came out. I mean, when I was in medical school, there was sunscreen that wasn't that great. There were retinols and retinoids, and we hadn't even really... And maybe just the tip of ceramides, but there wasn't even really... I remember reading Nick Perricone's book in medical school talking about vitamin C being this amazing antioxidant. Mm-hmm. But like now that's so commonplace that we know where all of these ingredients fit. But we really can change the quality and the beauty of the skin through skincare, where historically you had to do much more aggressive interventions. And so I love the skincare category because it's ever exploding, and we're finding new ways to change the skin that don't have to involve a dermatologist, because I don't think it's fair that only the, you know, wealthiest or the celebrities can afford beauty. I think it needs to be available to everyone, no matter what your socioeconomic status is. And so I love that we have that at all price points, and it's really available for everyone now.
Mm-hmm. What's a mistake that you feel people are making that could be aging them prematurely? People come in and you're like, okay, first thing, stop doing that.
Yeah. All day, every day, and especially right after the summer, because I feel like my patients are quite savvy, and they're younger and younger, wanting more aggressive interventions even before they need it. But they'll be mahogany tan, and they're talking
as
about
a, like
anti-aging.
A white person.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's like
mahogany.
Well, I mean, they're just so dark, and they're mm-hmm. like, but I wore sunscreen, and they act like one drop is like this protective vortex that yeah. will, you know, keep them safe all summer.
They put it on in the morning and like
yeah,
they forgot about it.
And they never reapply, and they don't apply enough. And it's not it's not the sexiest thing we talk about all day long. I mean, mm-hmm. there's certainly more fun things to talk about, but it's just like, don't put your skin in a damaged state and you'll already be winning the game at the end, you know, at the end of life, because we, if we only do 15 minutes a week of damage over a lifetime, that's a lot. And so yeah. the things that age us, wrinkles and sunspots, are going to appear if we haven't protected the skin. So in protection, I do lump in antioxidants and environmental shields, like pollution shields, and of course, good sunscreen.
Yeah, let's talk about some of those ingredients, because mm-hmm. that's where I think the confusion happens. First and foremost, you mentioned retinol because it's been around for a while. Why does every freaking dermatologist go back to this one ingredient?
And can I also just like tack on, you said retinols and retinoids. Can you also just...
Like, what's the difference?
Yeah, can you just like get real clear on that? Because I was like, I thought everything was a retinoid, and there's retinols with like the,
retinol,
the light, yeah, the
retinoic acid,
like yeah. the, you know, retinol, the gentle alcohol. Ones.
Yeah. So y'all, when you asked the first question about like, are people savvier and are they confused? The answer is yes. They are savvier because there's more to know, but mm-hmm. it's also confusing when you get granular. You're right. It's like, yeah, we know vitamin A derivatives. And that's what retinols and retinoids are. They both come from the same family of vitamin A. Retinols tend to not be as strong. And we used to think about prescription retinoids coming from dermatologists, and that's like Retin-A or Adapalene or Differin. Now Differin is over-the-counter, so it is a prescription retinoid that's now available over-the-counter. You don't need a prescription for it. It just became over-the-counter about a year and a half ago. So instead of it being like $300 at the pharmacy, it's now $12, mm-hmm. which is great. So talking about access to everyone. And traditionally, retinol and vitamin A products were formulated for acne. And that's where we use them in the dermatologic space in prescription management of acne. And then what we found over time was people's skin texture was better, it reversed sun damage, helped with fine lines, wrinkles, skin tone, the discoloration, the superficial pigment would release. And so that's why when you say, why does every dermatologist talk about retinol or retinoids? Because they fix so many issues that patients come to us with.
Mm-hmm. Is it also because they have perhaps a longer history that we knew about them? So they've, you know, these newer ingredients might not yet have all those studies behind them and things
right.
like that.
I think that's fair. I mean, I think we would all love something that was as effective as retinol, because it would make us more interesting during these times mm-hmm. than to talk about vitamin A and sunscreen. But those are still kind of the tried and true things. And there are some new ingredients that are coming out that show retinoid-like effects, like bakuchiol. Have y'all heard about that?
Yeah.
It's like a
What's
plant.
What's bakuchiol?
It's a plant-derived retinol that activates a lot of similar genes as retinol, but it's not as irritating. That's always the flip side to retinol, is there is a potential for irritation, because it's accelerating cell turnover. It's kind of pushing the younger cells to the top surface of the skin, and so you can see some peeling or redness. And not everyone can tolerate, not all skin types can tolerate vitamin A derivatives. So it's nice to have anti-agers that are alternatives, mm-hmm. but they may not be as powerful.
Right.
And you can also, I have a question about how effective they are, but first, you did say that they can make people sensitive, but there are certain ingredients that, like, when you get a product that has retinol with other things,
yes.
they're less likely to be sensitive. Mm-hmm. So what are some of those things?
So we were talking about Elizabeth Arden. I do love, they just launched some new retinol capsules that are formulated with ceramides. And so that helps. Ceramides, if we think about the skin as a brick wall mm-hmm. and the skin cells are the bricks, the mortar is made up of ceramides and fatty acids. So that's what's keeping those junctions tight and
yeah.
keeping the skin barrier intact.
Right.
And so as we age, when we hit 30, our ceramide levels have dropped by 46%. It's a sharp decline.
What?
And
that's
then
about 40.
I know,
that's
when
like
you
half.
Get to 40, it's 64%.
What?
It's really high.
Sorry, I just
so we
mic.
Have to like refortify the barrier. And
that seems really cruel.
It
Why
is.
Does that happen?
I mean, I have a running list of God questions, and that is on the top, along with cellulite and varicose veins and all these things that don't serve any healthy purpose. But yeah, I mean, I'm like, really? We're already losing collagen and elastin, then the ceramides drop off the cliff.
Yeah.
So that's why people will get sensitive over time as they get older. They're like, I used to be able to use this product forever, and now I can't use it. It makes me red or irritated. Mm-hmm. It's because those tight junctions aren't as tight, and
right,
so things
right.
seep into deeper
So if
levels.
You put that in at the same time you're putting the retinol on, it's less
it
likely.
It does help to mitigate some of those side effects, where you're getting red or peely or irritated, because retinizing the skin or getting it used to a retinoid or a retinol is a process. Like, we
yeah.
have to have that full conversation every day with patients when I'm prescribing medicines to contain it. you may get red, you may get peely. We need to baby step our way into using it. I say once a week for a week, twice a week for 2 weeks, three times
even
a
week. If it's like a product like those capsules with the ceramides.
So the capsules are a great way to introduce the skin to retinol without having to do all that baby stepping because right. they are individually packaged. They're in those little capsule forms, and so it's a single use. Mm-hmm. And they did studies to show that if you don't expose product to air and to light, this retinol capsule will maintain 76% more potency than something you keep going into these jars.
Got it.
So, or tubes. You
but
know.
An airtight pump airtight would do that
pump
too.
Is okay.
But some
yeah.
of them in the jars that open up
right.
is what you're saying. Yeah.
So they're single use, and then they're also formulated with ceramides so that you have kind of a built-in buffer to the potential irritation, which is a really smart thing to do. And retinol is a pesky little ingredient. It's not as stable as a lot of different products, so
right.
it's hard to formulate with. So, you know, if you look about, you think about Elizabeth Arden being a company and developing products for so long, it was like you looked at their SKUs and you were like, they're definitely missing a very powerful, important ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I loved is they didn't just do a Me Too. And they could have thrown retinol in any jar and it would have probably sold well, mm-hmm. but they did something different with it in order to help make it, one, available for all skin types
yeah.
because it's much better tolerated, and two, kind of put it into a much easier to use and, you know, it's like a veggie cap. It's very good for the environment. Mm-hmm. It's biodegradable and so smart.
You said all skin types to use, but I have been reading lately about certain skin types have a genetic variation where the way that they process like vitamin A derivatives mm-hmm. is not the same, so that it's possible that there's a certain percentage of the population that could be putting on retinol and never getting the anti-aging
yeah.
effects.
You're right. That's true.
So how do you know if you're one of those people?
I always say if we're not seeing change in your skin, and I give it 12 weeks, because especially if patients are, you know, slow to retinize or introduce it, if they're just baby stepping it, if they're worried they're going to be irritated. If we're not seeing improvement clinically, meaning you look in the mirror and you don't believe that your skin looks better, or and I'm on board with patients. We take pictures and we assess together.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is harder to assess change in ourselves. We're all our worst enemy, but that's where pictures really come in and help. But if you're not seeing at least some kind of smoothing of texture or improvement in fine lines, wrinkles, or tone, where maybe you have had some sunspots or little freckles that have lifted, then we'll change the ingredient.
Some doctor told me, sounds so rude, some doctor told me that retinol should work within 1 week. Is that crazy? This is a respected doctor.
I mean, I certainly...
No names.
Okay.
But, like, that. When I heard that, I was kind of like, does retinol really work that quickly?
It can. I mean, we have patients who definitely see improvement, or certainly with acne lesion reduction. Mm-hmm. We will see, in some studies, it's definitely been demonstrated that you can get, like, a 22% lesion count reduction per week if we're treating acne. Mm-hmm. And so that definitely is working within a week. So it depends on what our endpoint is. So, mm-hmm. yes, you could say for certain that there is an active endpoint in
yeah.
1 week,
mm-hmm.
whether we're counting lesions. If we were doing like yeah. wrinkle depth measurement with a cutometer, I would wait a little bit before I pulled that out. But I think that you can see maybe some brightening, certainly helping to accelerate cell turnover. So
how much though is like, you know, I think a lot of people would be like, if they're putting on retinol and they see some peeling, they might think that's normal, like no pain, no gain. Like how do you know when it's too much? And I'm not speaking to these retinol capsules from Arden. I'm just talking about retinol.
Or people that don't
general.
Buffer it in, they use it wrong twice yeah. a day, every day, too
yeah.
much
yeah.
product.
Like, when do you know, like, okay, like, this is not a good thing. This is not normal.
It's a great question, because some patients love that sloughing. They want to use, like, Tazerac. They're like, I know that if I put it on Wednesday, I'm peeling by Saturday, and they just use it almost like a
That's
weekly
so
chemical peel.
So much inflammation you're introducing.
I agree. And so that is not where we want to live. I'm not comfortable with that, and I don't think that ultimately it's good for the skin when you have that much inflammation lying
yeah.
all the time. But I think if you're like extremely red the morning after, if you find that you're overtly peeling like a snake, like those are things we either need to back off on the concentration or certainly start with something more gentle and get those receptors activated.
Right.
And then we can increase potency into a prescription space if needed. So everyone wants to push always. They're like, can I
Stronger
go up?
Is better, yeah.
And that's not necessarily the case. And so we want to make sure that we're kind of respecting our skin and living in a nice zone where we're making change that's beneficial but not inflaming it to the point that it's detrimental.
So peeling, like, peeling the morning after in redness is a bad thing.
I would say that I wouldn't apply it that night. I mean, it's certainly something that I wouldn't say, oh my gosh, you absolutely can't use this. But I would say, okay, for you, then we need to make sure that we're just gently introducing this in order to retinize the skin much more slowly. Or we stop, if that were a prescription retinoid that I were using, I would say, let's go to over-the-counter retinol. Get your skin used to the that activation of those receptors and then try to reintroduce that prescription again.
Got it.
Okay, one more retinol question, then we'll move on.
It's a tough topic.
It's hard.
We could do the whole episode. Yeah, we could do the whole episode on this.
Just to briefly go back to the percent, the population that like truly just gets no benefit from it. Is it a large percentage of the population?
It's small, thankfully, which is good.
Like we're talking like 1 in 10 people or what?
I would say like 1 in 1,000.
Oh, really? Okay, because I know 23andMe was doing some studies on this and like identifying the people that, okay, for you, you should just don't even bother. It's not doing anything, but it's a small percentage. Small,
which is good. And I think that's where everything's going to go at some point where we get genetically.
And you know, this will work for me, this won't.
Which is so great for everything, skin and medicine. I mean, how great that you wouldn't have to run through 4 different prescriptions to lower your cholesterol. You know exactly what's going to work for you.
I mean, and for cancer treatments now, too, that's how they're doing it, right?
Yeah.
Like genetically figuring it out so you're not just like frying everything with chemo or whatever.
It's a good time to be alive. Good and scary time to be alive.
So we just wanted to work through a couple other ingredients that might confuse people. One of them was ceramides, but I think you pretty much like explained. I like the brick mortar analogy. Another was peptides we hear about all the time. Like I feel like right after retinol, they're like, get a peptide. Yes. What's a peptide?
So peptide is just...
what's a dipeptide? What's a polypeptide? I'm sorry.
So peptide is, if we think about a peptide being a Lego... A dipeptide is 2 Legos. Polypeptide is multiple Legos, and they're just proteins. They're little pieces of amino acids that build proteins in the skin, or in the cells that then make up the skin. And so if we're doing things to enhance cellular turnover, like using a vitamin A product, then we also want to hydrate the skin and help support the building blocks of the cells. And so that's why peptides have come to light, and they're kind of an integral part of not only skin health, but skin hydration too.
And they get into my skin. They're like, because the skin's a barrier, right? But they're tiny enough to get in there and do stuff.
A lot of them, based on molecular size, or, you know, they send nuclear signaling to where you upregulate those.
Oh, so it's not like that went in there and did the job. It turned on my own skin to do the job.
Sometimes, just depending on how big the peptides are. But, yeah, they either do, like, micro signaling, or they'll do, or they themselves are little peptides that then link together to be the building blocks of the cell.
Yeah.
And is this something that we should use like in tandem with a retinol, or like do they do just as good of a job as retinols, or, you know, like if you're not into retinol or retin A, can you just use peptides? Or?
You can. I don't think that they would be as efficacious. I think that they certainly will have a good synergy together.
Okay.
But if you were one who couldn't tolerate retinols, by all means, they're certainly going to be better than nothing.
Okay. What about vitamin C? Because I feel like every single company is launching their vitamin C gel. Or L-ascorbic powders. Or, I mean, every day we get a new product with something with vitamin C.
Yeah, I mean, vitamin C is a very powerful antioxidant, and it's so good for blocking free radical damage. And so if we think about, you know, I always like to back it down, and oftentimes we know free radicals bad and antioxidants good, but, like, what does that mean on a cellular level? And if we think about we're out in the sun, and that goes through the skin, and it causes a free radical. That's an unpaired electron that wreaks a lot of havoc on the cell. But what does that look like? Let's pretend that the cell barrier, the membrane, is a zipper.
Okay.
That free radical goes in and unzips the cell and kills it prematurely. And we don't want cells to die prematurely.
Right.
So antioxidants, vitamin C, insert themselves in that cell membrane, and it can't unzip.
That's a nice visual. I get that.
I mean, it's very dumbed down, but that way you have a visual for, like, it's there protecting on a cellular level and keeping your cells healthy instead of prematurely.
But why is vitamin C so great versus all the other antioxidants we hear about?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very powerful one. They have we have a lot. I mean, we have vitamin E, Fluorotin, ferulic acid,
Eudobinone.
They're all great. They all work in different ways, but that same concept is there. And L-ascorbic acid I like a lot because it's the most, like, bioactive in the skin. And so,
meaning your skin doesn't have to convert it to another version that's usable. It's, like, already usable.
Yes.
Okay.
And so we... You know, you see that in a lot of the hero products that we talk about for topical antioxidants, but they often work best in tandem with other antioxidants as well. But it's certainly a powerful one that has shown not only to be cytoprotective against damage, not only from ultraviolet radiation, I was giving that in the example, but pollution, toxic exposures, smoke, smog, everything else mm-hmm. that we really put our skin into contact with.
Yeah.
But it also helps with, you know, the beauty aspects of like hyperpigmentation and melasma and all these things. So if we're using those in higher concentrations, it actually can reverse hyperpigmentation.
Not just prevent. Mm-hmm. You should be a professor at Albert Einstein Medical College. She's good at explaining this stuff. Okay, another anti-ager that literally comes up on this podcast, I would say one every five podcasts someone mentions it, is that Biologique Recherche P50 lotion.
I love it.
I get, like, it's acids, it's exfoliating, it smells funky like onions, mm-hmm. but, like, it's controversial for some people, some of the ingredients. Yeah. What is that stuff?
So it's lactic acid, it's glycolic acid. The reason it's controversial is because it contains phenol.
What's phenol?
So phenol is an exfoliant that in very high doses, and if we ingested it, has been shown to cause cancer in some patients.
But, like,
so,
what are we talking, high doses?
Yeah, I mean, just like everything. You know, I use it. I'm not scared of it. I know that it has phenol in it. There is a non-phenol version you are scared of it.
Do they create that just because people are freaked?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
But does the non-phenol... phenol work as well?
I don't think so, because I've been given both. And I like it. My I treat Sofia Vergara. She loves it. I mean, we all talk about, you can see, and it almost makes you feel like your skin looks better right after you use it. But if it freaks you out, get the,
This phenol, though, was that in, like, I was about to say murine studies. I was going to get real nerdy. Sorry. Was that, like, in a rat study or, like, humans? And they were eating, like, 8 gallons of it? You know, because, like, water could probably cause cancer.
Yeah,
that's
why I'm, like, kind of... I mean, I haven't heard of these studies. I this is the first I'm hearing of this phenol... What are you saying?
Phenol.
Phenol.
That's why I wanted to
versus
ask
versus non-phenol thing. I just, like, I do worry...
It's the 1970 version versus the modern version. You know how they have the two?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, is that
yes.
What the, oh, okay. I knew there were two versions. I was never really sure why. I do hear, and I don't really want to get into this conversation right now, but, like, because we'll be here all day, and I don't... We've got the art and PR folks here. but I do, like, there are brands that are creating products right now, and I won't say who, but I'm sure you can think of a lot of them that are responding not to science but responding to customer fears.
Yeah,
and they've told
us
that at death sides in the privacy of, like, you know, four walls, being like, listen, we know that there's nothing, you know, we're responding because our customers are freaked. And I love that they respect their customers. Mm-hmm. I love that they have this close, cozy relationship with their customers, but I kind of makes me uncomfortable that, like, they're not responding
to the science. I agree.
That big picture freaks me the F out.
Yeah.
Like, what if we say we want a thing that burns our face off? Are you going to make it for us, you know?
Right. Maybe.
We're just, like, just put out facts. They have a responsibility as science-led companies to
be like, this actually isn't bad for you.
Yeah, if you have scientists, like, at the helm of your company, put out facts.
Does it ever bother you?
It does bother me, and we deal with this all the time, and it's odd that it does even change prescriber habits, because
I'm sure
we will choose a medicine that's totally safe, and of course, we didn't go into medicine to hurt anyone. We're here to help you. We're not going to prescribe something that we are worried about, but, you know, the FDA has issued a black box warning, you know, and so the patient gets that with the warning, and then they call back, and they're like, you wanted me to put this on my face?
And you're their trusted.
And you're like... And you have that conversation four times a day, and then you probably stop writing it because you're just like...
It freaks people
they
out.
They don't... They
it's
got it
the
from
headache.
The pharmacy. It looks very official. It is true that it's been issued. But, of course, in those doses and that concentration, it's never going to harm them.
Right.
And
right.
I would put it on my children. Mm. But... And I put phenol on my face. And we used to do full face phenol peels. Like, I know the concentrations.
It's an exfoliating acid phenol.
Yes, okay. Yes. And so I'm not scared of it, but I can totally see that, sadly... That's the way behavior gets run right now. And until we kind of take a stance and we're like, no, we're going to dig in and just be backed in science, which is what we try to do.
Is there any ingredient out there that the FDA hasn't regulated? Let's just talk about the United States, that you're like, that one actually is kind of scary. Like,
and Arden definitely does not use that ingredient.
No. But, like, people will come up with these lists of these 40 things are banned. But just you as a doctor, you're like, if I saw this in someone's medicine cabinet, that's when I would draw the line.
It's a great question. I mean, you brought up talc. I have a tiny baby in diapers, and I don't put that. I don't, you know, do any baby powder because that was legitimately
talc-based baby powders.
Yes, legitimately shown or at least hinted towards, you know, causing cancer in females. So, as far as skincare, I think they do a great job of trying to keep it between the lines. I think we're more fear-mongering than. Like really being like, oh, this is great, but they, you know, or this is really harmful, but let's just keep selling it until they figure it out. I think hydroquinone in this country gets really demonized, and I think it's totally safe. If you really read the studies, it's much higher concentrations that are compounded elsewhere, up to like 19%, that will cause potential for darkening or what's called ochronosis, where the skin that you're trying to treat that's hyperpigmented gets even darker. And in, you know, some major dose studies, I guess they've also said it's potentially carcinogenic. I prescribe it every day. It doesn't go above 4% in anything I prescribe. Some doctors are even, you know, happy to compound it in higher concentrations here. I just know that I can guarantee when patients get all nervous that I can go into that. And I do. I say that all day long, every day. And they still use it because I've vetted as their doctor that it's okay.
Yeah, right.
So I find that more things get demonized unfairly than are, like, sliding.
I think that's what Jess was speaking to,
So, you know, we've talked about a lot of different ingredients, a lot of different products. How do you actually put on your products, like, in the right way? Because, you know, we all get this question so often. It's like, do the ingredients cancel each other out if I put on X and Y? And I'm like, I don't really know. You know?
Yeah. It's hard. And I get asked that, too. And we have to do a lot of, you know, I get to do a lot of work with the media. And they'll be like, can these live in tandem? You know, is it retinol and vitamin C or vitamin C and sunscreen? And when do we apply them and how? And so my general rule, and it's shocking. I mean, people who follow y'all, of course, they know skin. They're interested in it. But it's amazing. Even my savviest patients often will be like, now, do I put sunscreen on before my serum?
No. Okay.
That's always last, right?
That we know. I just feel like you can't, like, I don't know every formulation in the world. I'm also not a chemist, so I'm not going to even pretend to be like, oh, no, hon, that cancels. And, you know, how would you even know? So I have just always gone thin to thickest.
I love it.
With sunscreen at always at the very end, like before makeup.
Thoughts on her, on her strategy?
I love it. In the morning, I always say that. That's exactly my rule of thumb. Okay. Go thinnest to thickest. When in doubt, you know, a serum's going to go on before a cream, before an ointment, you know, like that. But the, you know, patients then will be like, well, what about toning? You know, so cleanse and tone, prep the skin, and
well,
then
that's
start
pretty thin. So that still works with that theory.
It does.
Right?
The only thing that can kind of disrupt the order is at night, if you're using a retinol, regardless of the formulation or the vehicle, I want that on a clean skin first before any other product.
Okay.
Because we think about the most active thing, the one we're really trying to change, that's why serum usually goes on first, because it usually has the most potent ingredients. We don't want anything else disrupting it, because if you put a cream or a barrier on first, it may block the activeness.
Even
of the
a silky serum, retinol first, and then the serum?
I would.
Okay.
Yeah. And then follow with the serum.
And what, you know, there's so much focus on cleansing right now. Double cleanse, micellar, all this stuff. How important is cleansing in your regimen?
I'm a big fan of double cleansing. I mean, clearly I'm a product girl. And I'm a dermatologist. And I'm a makeup girl, so you got to get that off. And so I like double cleansing.
What is your double cleansing routine like?
I do the Arden Ceramide Oil Cleanser first.
Okay.
And then I use Lytic Gel by Epionce. Do y'all know that one?
I don't know that
one. It's nice. It's like,
is that a water-based cleanser?
No, it's more gel.
Okay.
But it's good. And so that's what I do. And I feel like the oil cleanser does a great job of getting eye makeup off. And then I follow with that. And I like it. And, you know, cleansing used to be so out of vogue. No, everyone was just like, whatever, just get it off, whatever
it
you
rinses
use.
Off.
Irish Springs.
Matter.
Yeah, you know, oh, get it off. And then your product, then the all everything's in the product.
Yeah,
but now
yeah.
when we look at, like, electron micrographs of the skin and, like, the amount of pollution and dirt and makeup that still remains in the skin if we don't properly cleanse it, that over time will accelerate aging. So I love that we've gotten, you know, this resurgence of focusing on the first step. And it's not all, you know, just wash down the drain and who cares? I mean, there is real activity to that. So yeah. I think it's important.
I think it came in tandem, too, with long wear makeup. I'm like, makeup is so much better than it was 10 years ago.
That's
like,
a great point.
I have put on sometimes lipsticks that I fully washed my face, went to bed, and then the next morning, like, I'll wipe my mouth with something. I'm like, oh, my God, it was still on there. Mm-hmm. So the oil-based cleanser is what you're saying is taking that off.
Cool.
You said you're a product girl. Can we get into that a little bit?
Sure.
All right. Let's just talk about your hair. I do not understand. Every time I see you, it's like... a chia pet. Do you get, like, what do? You have the most beautiful hair. The
best hair in the business.
That's best hair in the biz.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. That's a high compliment.
Google her.
Well, I have a 11-month-old, and when I stopped nursing, it started shedding.
Yeah.
At 8.
You wouldn't know.
Well, I started taking Nutrafol. I do think that helped a lot. I love that as a supplement. You know, we prescribe things for hair growth all day long. I do a lot of hair loss, but... as far as something that's safe and drug-free, I love that vitamin. It's a hair supplement. It's a bit annoying that you have to take 4 capsules at once. Ooh. They can't get all the actives into one. So if you're not a pill taker, that's not fun. You don't have to take 4 during the day. It's all at once, but it still kind of seems like a whopping dose. But I will say that I think that has helped regrow some of the hair that I lost and helps with skin, with hair texture. And weirdly, I haven't had to color my grays as much.
That's weird.
I hear more and more studies going on. We haven't yet to see any real proof of like certain vitamins and supplements that might be able to affect melanin in your hair.
I mean, I only know that because my hair girl has had a baby and she pushed back her.
But
her
maybe your hair is growing slower, so the grays just aren't coming in.
It's growing faster.
But yet still fewer grays.
I mean, they're still there. I'm getting it.
You got a lot of variables going on here. You had a baby.
You asked. I don't know. I'm being honest.
No, that's cool.
And then what about like your skin? Like, or like, well, we talked about your cleansing routine.
Yep, double cleanse.
What are some things you use in your skin?
So I use the ceramide capsules. I really do like those. I think they're great. And I'll be 42 in a few days. And,
looking good. Looking good.
64% draft. We got to replete. And I actually like their City Smart sunscreen as well. It's tinted and it has a pollution shield in it. And
which is basically just like an antioxidant complex.
They've got that and then a semi-permeable membrane. It's literally like sitting on top of the skin.
This is the vortex we were talking about. Remember, you're like, it's not like you put on some and you have a vortex.
So that is so great because if we think about the pores, like dirt and makeup and all that are pretty big. But pollution particles are 20 times smaller than our pores. So it's the equivalent of shooting like a nickel through a basketball hoop. It's very easy for them to get down. So the good thing is about, unlike sunscreen that you have to keep reapplying, that pollution shield, when it's on until you wash it off. So you don't have to keep putting that on. And it's almost like a breathable membrane that keeps you from getting all the pollution. And if you look at the studies from pollution, it can accelerate hyperpigmentation by like 22%. It really does age you over time, and we live in the city. So
does this come in tinted?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really pretty. It's like a almost like a BB cream.
Yeah, totally.
It's really pretty. I think I know someone. I'll send you some.
And what about this eye makeup? Your lashes are they real?
Okay, these are the Huda Beauty number 17. They're easy. You know, I can't
you're
do a strip.
A Southern girl. Southern girls can put on lashes.
I can't do the strips, but these are like three bundles of three.
Uh-huh.
And I only put two right
you
there.
You put those on yourself?
Not this morning.
Oh, you did TV this morning. That's right.
But I can.
You can?
And you only need two, or I only need two, but they come for 4 per eye. So then you get multiple uses out of them. But they're sold at Sephora. And, I mean, I'm doing a full commercial right now, but I have no interest in this product except for I love them. And I cannot. I can do surgery. I can cut, take someone's face off, but I can't put on a strip lash on myself. It's so hard because you've got one eye down, you know.
I hope you can do it on someone else.
Like, I can definitely do it on anyone else. But the ones that are like a little bit longer than the individual ones are so easy.
And you always have like a nice, like natural looking like lip cheek situation.
Thank you.
What's happening there?
What's happening?
So this is Soar, S-O-A-R by Mac.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Oh, thank God we spelled it, because otherwise
it sounded terrible, didn't it?
Yeah. Soar by Mac.
And herpes shade.
Very niche for dermatology only. And then I do Brave by Mac as well.
Okay.
But I also have a Chanel gloss that I like. That's like 109, I think, is
the Glossomer.
Yeah, it was just like a kind of like a flush, natural look, you know?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Nice. I'm going to come here more often. I feel so good about myself.
Anytime. Did we ask, was there something we should have asked you that we didn't ask you that you want to like either correct the record or make sure people know. And just don't say sunscreen. We asked you about sunscreen. I know.
but we've already done the public service. They get it. They're like, enough. But wouldn't we not be good dermatologists if we didn't bring it there?
Of course.
I think that globally, I want people to kind of love their skin. I mean, the skin is like such an awesome, awesome organ that keeps us so healthy the majority of the time. And if we just keep it happy and not beating it up and peeling it and doing all the stuff at home that everybody's trying so hard to, like, do all this home stuff with, like, really strong exfoliants and peels and everything.
And microneedling.
Really, and, like, mess up the barrier or the microbiome. And, like, if we can just keep it happy at homeostasis, the skin is amazing at doing what it does. And healthier skin looks better. Leave the big stuff. I'm not saying we don't need it. And I'm not doing this in my own interest. There are certainly things, but people who are chronically, like we talked about, just irritating it, are doing a disservice even though they think they're doing better for it. So, like, love your skin, hydrate it, give it what it needs, but let's not do, like, weekly destruction. That's all I get.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Sounds like you know this from experience. Yeah. You've seen some weekly destroyers. Oh, yeah.
That's our new podcast name, Weekly Destruction.
That's hilarious. Thank you so
much. This was so fun. Thank you, Dr. Dendy.
Thank you.
Jess is still laughing from before the interview when I talked about the sex lube accident. Bring it down a notch.
I'm still crying. There are tears in my eyes. Tears in my eyes, baby.
Okay, so I'm not raising a wand to a lube. Can I go first?
Yes, you can.
I'm raising a wand to Flamingo Foaming Shave Gel. Have you heard about Flamingo?
Oh, yeah, that's really good. I love it. I've got my razor. It's awesome.
Okay. It's one of those subscription razor services, sort of like Billy, that tries to take on the big Gillettes of the world with cheaper cartridges for your razors. And I was like all about it. But honestly, all those razors, they're the same to me. Like, it works. The end.
I like my razor.
However, I was like, I'll just use this shave cream that came with it. That stuff is amazing. I actually had to go back and do that revisionist, like, what is the variable that's different today? Because I was like, does my body lotion all of a sudden working better? Like, my legs were so smooth and, like, moisturized. And I was like, what did I do different? And I finally realized when I tried the razor, I tried their shaving cream with it. Mm-hmm. And I swear it doesn't smell weird like raspberry rain.
Yeah.
It has a really nice scent. And it has that aerosolized foam, but not in a Barbasol kind of way, the gel to cream kind of way.
It's not too fluffy.
It's not as lotiony as the Eos, which I don't like that because I feel like it clogs the razor, even though I know it doesn't. It is the perfect, like, storm of, like, everything you want in a shave gel, which is weird to be excited about a shave gel. But the other thing is...
It's like a shave lotion, though, isn't it?
But it's like it still foams a little.
Yeah.
It's like the best of... It's like a hybrid of all that in one. And it's only $5 for, like, the big aerosol can. What is this? 7 ounces. $5 is cheaper than, like...
$5 is cheaper than what I get at the Duane Reade.
Right. Like, Skintimate is, like, $6.99 for that big tube.
Yeah.
No rust ring. I know that bothers you.
It bothers me a lot.
No rust ring with this one.
It bothers me a lot.
So, and look at the packaging. Very, like, cool.
That's really cool.
Like, I'm not embarrassed to have this in a shower.
Yeah, exactly. That's, like, the Nick Axelrod factor. It's, like, would it meet the Nick standard? Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't look janky in your bathroom.
So, Flamingo Foaming Shave Gel.
I like it. Okay, mine is not $5, but this is if you want to get yourself a special holiday treat. This is a great gift, but it's also a wonderful gift for yourself. They know the brand Sunday Forever?
Yes.
They sell all kind of goodies that, like, make you just feel, you know, kind of cared for. Crystals, candles, things like that, sage. Well, one of their star items are these kimonos. The founder, like, is really into kimonos.
Ooh.
And that sounds kind of like an item, like, why do I need that? You know, like, that's, like, a real, like, indulgence. I'm telling you, you need one of these, okay? I have this one called the Cooper. It's a cotton kimono, but it's made out of, like, a fabric that's a heavy, heavy... it's 100% brushed poly. So it doesn't cling to your body. You know how if you have a cotton, sometimes it's like clinging to your body.
Yeah, and if you don't have a bra on, it's like there's a tit over here, there's a tit over there. I know, like with a robe like that. I'm sorry. That was too graphic.
No. We've gone there in the past couple episodes. So
there's a structure to it.
It has a great hang to it. I have a big caboose. I've got some thighs. These hang on that area that I feel like
You're covered, but not
covered. And honestly, quite pulled together. I wear this around the house, and I'm leaving out like the best part. It's long, so you can sit on the couch with it, have your legs akimbo, and you won't feel like you're
showing everybody your
bits. Exactly. Now, this isn't cheap, guys.
This is a lounging room.
Yeah, okay, it's $175, but you will feel like Elizabeth Taylor in your home wearing this.
I like it. It's very between our shave gel, our sex lube, and our kimono.
God, you are hot.
We're languid. Is that the word?
Yeah,
I
languid.
Want?
Yeah, languid. Yeah. This is really like, you won't regret this.
I like it.
Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.